Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight is a particular honor for me because, let's face it, my presence on this stage is pretty unlikely. My father was a foreign student, born and raised in a small village in Kenya. He grew up herding goats, went to school in a tin roof shack. His father, my grandfather, was a cook.
Welcome to Current Events with Patrick Cook. I'm your host, Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas, as I do every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central Time, 5 o'clock Eastern. We are the number one resource for small business and nonprofits. To learn how you can showcase your business or nonprofit, go to our website at TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com for details. Man, we have another great show in store for you today. So sound the alarm. Get on Facebook, Twitter, Foursquare, or Tumblr. Send out emails and text messages. Call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. And for those of you that are listening via Blog Talk Radio, leave your comment. Click the follow button or follow me on Twitter, and that's at TaylorMade101. I'll be reading your tweets live on the air. And I also have a chat room open. Out there in the chat room, you can leave your comments or ask questions. So whatever your pleasure, chat room, Twitter, Facebook, or just plain old my bell, we want to hear from you. But first, let's take a look at the current events. Greetings and salutations, everyone. Greetings and salutations. I am calling in today to celebrate. First, celebrate my birthday. It was yesterday, and I had a great time over the past couple of days celebrating. Got a lot of wonderful gifts. Thank the Lord for being with you one more year. So today's topic is food for thought. We want to discuss Paula Deen, and we want to know, we want to hear from you. We want to know if she's getting a raw deal or is her goose cooked. So if you haven't heard, there's a great article in the Huffington Post that talks a little bit about this in the details, but basically it reads, the Food Network said Friday is dumping Paula Deen barely an hour after the celebrity cook posted the first of two videotaped apologies online, begging forgiveness from fans and critics troubled by her admission to having used racial slurs in the past. The 66-year-old Savannah Kitchen celebrity has been swamped in controversy since court documents filed this week revealed Deen told an attorney questioning her under oath last month that she has used the N-word. And she said, yes, of course. Though she also added, it's been a very long time. The Food Network, which made Deen a star with Paula's Home Cooking in 2002 and later Paula's Home Cooking in 2008, weighed in with a terse statement Friday afternoon. Here's what they said. Food Network would not review Paula Deen's contract when it expires at the end of this month, the statement said. Network representative declined for the comment. A representative for Deen did not immediately return phone and email messages seeking comment on the decision. Now, there's plenty out there on this particular case, but I want to hear from you. Do you think that she's getting a raw deal, or is it the case that her goose is cooked? And when I say the raw deal, I'm asking simply is, by her usage and in her and under oath saying it's been a while, by her uses of this N-word, and we all know what that means, is this something that we can say, slap her on the hand, say don't do it again, and she just go on with her life? Or is it the case her goose is cooked because she's used the phrase or the term, and in the context that she used the frame or term, and we're saying, nope, we're going to throw you away. We're not going to tolerate this from you. But I want to know why you feel one way or the other. And I say that with the backdrop of when you hear rap music, when you hear these graphic movies, when you see people in casual conversation use these terms over and over again, and they use them in different contexts, we don't necessarily throw them away or to say that their goose is cooked. So is it the case that Paula Deen and others, there have been others that fit this scenario, is it the case that she's getting a raw deal? Or is it the case that she's done? Her goose is cooked. We don't want to hear anything else from her, regardless of how many apologies she make. We just don't want to hear it. So I want to know why you feel one way or the other. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we're going to take your phone calls. And we're going to get you to weigh in on this Paula Deen story. Is her goose cooked? Or is she getting a raw deal? You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Be back in a moment.
You are listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. My mom and dad will be right back after these messages.
Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for a discounted book for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com. and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ash Gima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And, of course, my
need a new website, haven't figured out your social media strategy, are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full-service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. 5712. And if you're just now joining us, today's topic is food for thought. Did Paula Deen get a raw deal, or is her goose cooked? Now, I'm not sure if you've heard the controversy surrounding Paula Deen and the fact that she used the N-word, and there's a lot of people saying, nope, I don't want to have anything else to do with Paula Deen because she's racist, she's this, she's that. They've been given all kind of adjectives to describe Paula Deen, and they've been loving her Food Network over the past several years. But now she made this one mistake, or maybe she revealed this one mistake openly and honestly, and now people are saying, nope, I don't want to have anything else to do with her. Or is it the case that her goose is not cooked, she's getting a raw deal? Maybe it's the case that she exposed, or she told the truth and says, hey, I did it in the past. Yeah, it was a context which I grew up in. It was a culture. You know, no big deal. You know, people use it all today. Listen to the rap music. They still selling them. People are not doing anything with those people. What do you think? Should she get the raw deal, or is her goose cooked? Now, I'm going to bring in my co-host. Now, most of you are familiar with Jima. She is the outstanding co-host of Current Events with Patrick Cook, but she's also the executive producer, and she's the chief operating officer for TaylorMade Training and Consulting. I introduce Assam and present the other, Jima Hill Cook. Jima, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. So I'm going to ask the question that I've asked in my audience, and I want them to call in and weigh in on this particular deal. And the number is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. So, Jima, is it the case that Paula Deen is getting a raw deal, or is her goose cooked?
Can you hear me?
I can. It's a little background windy noise, but I can hear you quite fine.
Okay. All right. No, it's not a raw deal, and no, I don't think her goose is cooked. So to both of those, I'm going to say no. I can't say that whether or not Food Network should have canceled her contract, or they didn't cancel it, they just didn't renew it. So it wasn't like she got fired. I guess her contract was up for renewal, and they decided not to renew her contract. So you can make that, and they may have been looking for a reason to get rid of her. Who knows?
Oh, come
and
on, now. She's a top seller.
She gave
them
one.
Wonderful.
I mean, you know, what?
She's pretty good. She's pretty good. She's been carrying the Food Network for many, many years. There has to be a correlation between her not renewing her contract, from Food Network not renewing her contract, and this controversy.
Right, and what I'm saying to that is that, you know, we're wanting to make it be about the use of the N-word, and to me it's much deeper than that. I look at the fact that she was entertaining the thought of putting on a wedding and having the reception be ran by people dressed up as slaves with white gloves on. Who does that? Who makes that be okay in 20-whatever year, that's something, that's a theme you want to have, a slave theme to your wedding reception, and she was going to entertain that. So I have more concerns about that thought process than I have about her using the N-word, because, you know, people still do use it, black, white, green, and purple. People use it, and it's a term of endearment, so they say. I don't like it coming from anybody. So I couldn't tell you last time I bought a rap album. It was probably when they were still calling it rap and not hip-hop. That's telling you when last time I bought a rap album. So the fact that, you know, people are making more issue of her using the N-word, it gives them an excuse not to address the underlying issues. And in watching the Rainbow Push Coalition meeting on yesterday that comes on the Word Network, one of the attorneys with Rainbow Push that happens to be their Georgia Southwest vice president, they have been investigating this issue for a while. So what came out in this quote-unquote deposition is, I think, the tip of the iceberg. I don't think we've heard the last of this. So she may have given one apology about using that word, but at the end of the day, she has a lot more to explain, things around labor issues, the wages that she's paying her people. her company and how it's heavily dominated by white males. The fact that the front line at her restaurant, the people running the cash register are either white or light-skinned African-Americans, and all the dark-skinned African-Americans are in the back. So she has a lot more to answer for than just the N-word. So I'm more concerned about those things than I am about the N-word, and all of that's going to come out. So although she's trying to smooth things over now, and we only, and this is what we do in America, we rush to judgment. We have lost the art of investigating, of you know, suspending judgment until you have all the facts. We are so quick to, A, get a story, and, B, to just run with something. Now all these people that have her support, you don't even know the whole story. And now when the story comes out, you're going to have to change your tune about some things, because it's not going to be just about the use of the N-word. It's not going to be just
yeah.
about that. It's going to be about how she runs her business, how she treats her employees, how she's allowed her employees to be treated by her sons and by her husband. All of that's going to come out, and that's what we need to be paying attention to.
So what you're referring to, also the Huffington Post has mentioned this as well in the article, and if you haven't read it, I encourage you to go out there and read the article in the Huffington Post that talks about the Paula Deen and the Food Fit Network and the controversy surrounding it. But in the article, and what Gina was referring to, is that the court records show Deen sat down for a deposition on May 17th and a discrimination lawsuit filed last year by a former employee who managed Uncle Bubble's Seafood and Oyster House. Now, the article goes on to say that this a Savannah restaurant owned by Deen and her brother, Bubba, the ex-employee, Lisa Jackson, say she was sexually harassed and worked in a hostile environment with innuendos and racial slurs. Now, during the deposition, Deen was peppered with questions about her racial attitudes. And at one point, she asked if she thinks jokes using the N-word are mean. Deen says, jokes are often target minority groups, and I can't myself determine what offends another person. Deen also acknowledged she briefly considered hiring all black waiters for her brother's 2007 wedding. Let me say this one more time. Deen also acknowledged she briefly considered hiring all black waiters for her brother's 2007 wedding, an idea inspired by the staff at a restaurant she had visited with her husband. She insisted she quickly dismissed the idea, but she also insisted she and her brother have no tolerance for bigotry. Bubba and I, neither one of us care what the color of your skin is or what gender a person is, Deen said. It's what's in your heart and in your head that matters to us. So, Jimin, amidst all of the allegations and all of the innuendos and all of the reporting on this issue, is her goose cooked or is she getting a raw deal?
And I'll say, as I stated at the beginning, no, I don't think her goose is cooked, because people like Paula Deen, they always bounce back. You look at every other person that's had an issue around some racial issue, Don Imus, who was taken off the air for a little while, and then he was back. You had the people that were stopping the sponsorship with Rush Limbaugh, and now all of a sudden those people are beginning to come back. So people like her, they always bounce back because they have what's known as white privilege. So she'll bounce back. She'll be fine. She's not going to lose any sleep over anything. And whatever money she ends up having to pay out, somebody would give it back to her in some kind of way. As I stated, I'm more concerned about her practices. I'm more concerned about, as a business person, what labor laws has she violated. She's receiving government contracts. So, you know, how has she managed her businesses in relationship to those types of contracts? So I'm more concerned about that. I don't care what she thinks. I used to tell my staff when they worked for me, you can think whatever you want to think on the outside of the door, but when you come in here, you think like I think. So when she's receiving money from the government, her protocol, her practices need to mirror that of the government. There are certain things that you cannot do, and you cannot discriminate based on race, religion, sexual orientation, all of that. Disability, you cannot create a hostile work environment. You got your brother running around there calling the cook his black monkey, and you want to tell me it's what's in your heart? Well, what does that say about his heart if he calls somebody his little black monkey? And I'm even more concerned about the people who worked in that environment. You know, what type of life were they living where they thought it was okay or they thought there was no way out? And I'm glad for the person who had the courage to say enough is enough and decided to file a claim. I'm glad because we cannot effect change if we don't know what needs to be changed. And she may think that. She may feel that. She may harbor something around slavery, and that's fine. And you do that in the privacy of your home. But when you step out of your home into a business place, all of that has to go to the back. It cannot be up front because you will suffer the consequences for that, as well as she should.
So it begs the question that racial issues really don't matter. I mean, you can call black people what you want to, and you still get away with it. And I say that
you can call everybody else something else, but you can call black people saying you want to. That's exactly what I said.
You can call black people whatever you want to and get away with it. And because we have example after example after example. So it's okay. So Paula Deen is going to be okay. I mean, basically, Imus did it. Limbaugh did it. Now Paula Deen is doing it. Ain't nobody going to say anything. I mean, it's good for rating. It's good to stir up a little controversy. It's good to move some things around. It gives people an opportunity to restructure some things if they want to. But at the end of the day, these people are still going to remain millionaires. These people are going to still remain with their base, you know, good, wholesome people. Do you agree?
I agree with that. And I think the problem with why people can get away with it is because of what we do to ourselves. We are the only race of people that spend more time denigrating ourselves than anybody else has to. Nobody else has to say another bad thing about a black person because they're going to beat you to the punch. You go back to the man that rescued those girls that had been kidnapped for 10 years, and you go back to the type of vulgarity and the type of name-calling he received from people that look like him. It wasn't from white people calling him names or Hispanic people calling him names. It was black people calling him names. So nobody else has to denigrate us. We do it daily to ourselves. So when somebody else does it, they think it's okay because that's how they hear us doing. So we can't, you know, Roland Martin's point was, if you're going to yell and scream, you need to yell and scream all the time. You just can't yell and scream when somebody else. If the house is on fire, the house is on fire. If it's inappropriate, it's inappropriate. It can't be inappropriate because I don't like you. No, if it's inappropriate to do or to say, it's inappropriate. You don't get inappropriateness based on conditions. I equate that with sin. Sin isn't based on conditions. Either it's right or it's wrong. It's real simple. But we keep wanting to create things to be in a gray area, and they're not in a gray area. It is not okay to refer to me as anything other than my name, period.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm
we
not
going
to respond
we did that again.
To anything other. Exactly.
We did it
so,
again.
So until, yeah. Right. Until we do that, you know, thank you. Back to, to Gabby. We want to talk about her hair. Are you kidding me? This young lady didn't broke records, didn't set a record. And we're talking about whether or not her hair was straight enough around the edges. Are you kidding me? We did the same thing to Venus and Serena when
they first came out with their cornrows
and their beads and stuff. We're the same thing now. We did the same thing to Oprah.
Yeah,
her name was Oprah, and her hair, her weight, her nose, her face, her hair.
Yep.
We had we didn't give anybody else a chance because we just go straight in first. So I can't, you know, my issue is when will we decide that we love ourselves enough collectively to stop allowing ourselves to be marginalized and defined by somebody else? That's what we have to do. Can't nobody define me better than I can define myself. And if that is the going definition of who we are as a race of people, then we've done ourselves a great disservice, period. And I know whoever's listening can go back to what they did back in the day and the separation of the family and how we was treated and all that. But what we have done in the last 50 years to ourselves, because that didn't happen. What we see today was not happening 50 years ago. This is what we have done to ourselves. There was not a rap, you know. Yeah, you heard Richard Pryor out there talking, you know, using the N-word. But you didn't hear 500 people using the N-word in every other sentence on the radio, on TV. I mean, it's just kind of like whatever. And I'm just not understanding how we got to this point to be considered the heirs of the kingdom, and this is where we are. We're not acting like heirs. We're not. We're acting like the lay people right now. And therein is why we get treated like we're treated. So then when you come across a President Obama, you don't find out what to do with him because he's not going to take you treating him any kind of way.
That's right. That's right. So, absolutely well said. So you said, how do we get to this point? So I want to shift the conversation a little bit to ask that simple question, how we got to this point with this man, Eric Snowden. Snowden. I'm going to call him Eric Snowden. And I don't know if you heard this, but now the man who leaked details of the U.S. government surveillance programs was on the run late Sunday seeking asylum in Ecuador with the aid of the anti-secrecy group WikiLeaks, the organization and Ecuador's foreign ministry announced. Now, Edward Snowden, according to CNN.com, the one-time contract analyst for the National Security Agency, left Hong Kong after the U.S. government sought his extradition on espionage charges. He landed in Moscow, where his CNN crew spotted a car with diplomatic plates and an Ecuadorian flag at the Russian capital's international airport. Now, WikiLeaks, which facilitates the publication of classified information, did not disclose what country would be Snowden's final destination. So, Jima, how did we get to this point? How did we get to a point where an American citizen is flying around the country, presumably making deals with these foreigners? How did we get to this point?
And more importantly, how did we ever get to the point, and this, you know, I don't want to make this be a racial show today, however, comma, things in the world just sometimes make, it's just a reality. How did he get to be equated to Martin Luther King, Rosa Parks, anybody?
What?
Because these people, they were saying he was the, they've equated what happened to Reverend King in terms of the wiretapping as Snowden informing us as to what was going on with the wiretapping. Although no one's been wiretapped, although everything they was trying to place on Dr. King was completely illegal, and everything that he's been talking about has been in the form of our national security. Nobody's phone calls have been listened to, as we stated a couple of weeks ago. So we got here because we have President Obama in office and because there is this concerted effort to make him look bad. And if you make him look bad enough, not forgetting what it does to the country, what America and American media and what Republicans and conservatives and Tea Parties don't recognize is that to the outside world, we are America.
All of us. Right.
They're not separating by party anywhere in the country, the world. So
I'm
in
crazy
China,
American.
It's American.
Right.
In Russia, it's the Americans. It's the United States of America. So they don't care if you're a Republican. They don't care if you're a Democrat. So when you get on TV spouting all this nonsense, who needs to be impeached and the illegality of what they've been doing and we shouldn't be listening to other countries, how do you think we have survived thus far without a possible attack had we not been listening? Because it wasn't like we wasn't listening on 9/11. We just didn't pay attention.
That's right.
We had the data, right? I mean, you're the data man.
That's right. That's right.
We had the data. We had the intel, as they call it. And we chose as a country because, see, it wasn't we as in the we doesn't get separated out because the president of the United States at that time was the president of the United States.
Right.
So we chose collectively because of our leader not to follow the intel. Not following the intel led to what happened. So now we're following the intel, and we have not had another situation because we're listening to the information. We got here because of the person sitting in office, because nothing that the FISA courts are doing, that the NSA is doing, is new information. You don't want to know what's new is that there's somebody else at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. That's what's new.
So, I mean, so let's assume that's true. Let's assume that this is all because we have an African-American president. But what that also assumes is that there is going to be damage to the United States. So we can also assume that President Obama won't have a third term. And then if that's the case, what happens to the United States' credibility and what happens to the United States' stature or status in the world after he leaves office, now that this damage has been done?
But here's the thing, though, because some of the damage that's been done hasn't really affected the world. The world still sees him as a great national leader. They still see him as someone to be respected. It's here in the United States that people have issues with him. He's still respected and regarded. They knew these programs were going on. They just probably didn't know how detailed of information we were receiving and how well we were at decoding what they were putting out there. Because just like we listen to them, they're listening to us as well. Let's be real about that. So they know, you know, there's some shared, you know, you turn your eye, I turn my head type thing going on. So when it comes to how we'll be viewed in the world, I think when he leaves office and he's done these things here to the level that he's done and he's bridged those gaps with those countries overseas that the previous president had destroyed, they will recognize him for the attempt to do that. Nobody wants a terrorist attack in their country. Nobody. Russia doesn't want it. China doesn't want it. You know, nobody wants that to happen. Nobody wants these extremists to come in and take over their country. So whatever he knows that's keeping it from happening here, he's probably keeping it from happening somewhere else as well. So he will still be regarded in that respect. The issue is whether or not the next person, whoever comes in, can hold the line. I think that's a term in football, that you got to hold your line. Will they hold the line that he's built over these last, you know, several years now, these two terms, or will they go back and be pushed back to what it was under the previous president? That's what we won't know until we find out who the next president will be. We can hope that if it's another Democrat, that they'll hold the line. But if it's a Republican, we have no idea what they'll do. We have no idea.
So how long will this really stay on the forefront of our mind? You know, we have this microwave mentality nowadays. We have this propensity to forget, as Rev. Al Sharpton say, amnesia. We gain amnesia over time and just forget about this thing. So let's say by Christmas time, who's going to remember this guy? Will he be remembered after Christmas?
I, I think he will be remembered after Christmas because there's going to be some. I mean, let's go back to Benghazi. Benghazi happened last summer, and they still want to talk about it, right? So somebody on some network will continue to talk about him and try to hold him in some high regard as somebody that's done this country a great service. But as someone said on Twitter the other day, no one recalled Dr. King or Rosa Parks running to another country. So, we have to put this thing in perspective. I mean, obviously you feel like he did something wrong, right?
He's running. you don't do something right, that's my point.
If you right, you stand there, you take the hit. Well, why are you running to Hong Kong and China and Russia and making deals with people across the world? If you
stand with what you said, international travel.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the international travel that he, well, because, you know, he was single. He was making close to $200,000 working for Boone and what is it? Who's that company? Yeah. Boone and Hamilton. He was making close to $200,000. So, and he probably got over there on a business account. Let's talk about that because he was headed that way for business.
Mm.
So he just stayed. Yeah, Boone's financed that first leg of that trip. And they don't even know it. Yeah, he got over there on a business account.
Mm-mm-mm.
Guaranteed. He used a business corporate card to get himself out of the country.
Now he's in Ecuador.
Now we know that the people, the legal counsel for WikiLeaks is who got him from Hong Kong to wherever he is now.
Mm-hmm. Something in the milk ain't clean with this story.
Oh yeah, it's a whole lot in the milk in this story that's not clean. But once again, we're not investigating. We're just looking at the surface. You always say you got to peel the layers back. You start peeling back the layers in this story, and you're going to find out some things that we don't even want to know. There are some things as a United States citizen, I don't want to know what the government is doing. I do not want to know. Because to know means now I got to make some decisions about some other things, and I'm not sure if that's what I want to do.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. And on that, I'll take another break. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We're going to be back in a minute. And when we return, we'll take your calls. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, TaylorMade Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Steamer, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Current Events with Patrick Cook is joining the fight with First Lady Michelle Obama to help feed hungry children and stop childhood obesity. During the school year, many children receive free and reduced-price breakfast and lunch as a result of the school breakfast and national school lunch programs. However, when the last bell sounds, marking the end of the school year, for many, it marks the beginning of hunger that will plague them throughout the summer. Here at Current Events, we're going to fill that nutrition gap and make sure children can get the nutritious meals they need. To learn how you can help with this worthy cause, go to TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free. That's TaylorMade101.com and click on Hunger Free.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy. And I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend. And, of course, my East Point.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Current Events with Patrick Cook.
Patrick Cook.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. We've been talking this morning, well, this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, about a couple of different issues. One, Paula Deen. We had a segment called Food for Thought, and we wanted to know, was it a raw deal that she's getting, or is just her goose cooked? We also talked a little bit about Edward Snowden and the issues that he's involved in is really blowing my mind, for lack of a better word. The fact that he's over there in China and now Ecuador, he's been leaking these issues across the United States, and it seemed like to me he's on the run. But he thinks what he's doing is right. Some people consider him to be a hero. Others consider him to be a traitor. What's your opinion? Again, the number to call is 323-580-5712. I also want to talk for a minute about the Trayvon Martin case. I want to talk a little bit about the Trayvon Martin case, and when we do that, we're gonna do that when we return here in a minute. But we want to introduce the Trayvon Martin case. I want to get your thoughts on the Trayvon Martin case. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook.
You are listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook, coming to you live from Dallas, Texas. My mom and dad will be right back after these messages.
Cook Enterprises have joined forces with Google Inc. and Amazon.com. With this new partnership, our companies, Tailor Made Training and Consulting, Current Events, and Ask Jima, can now offer you the best deals 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Whether you're looking for discounted books for your book club or a very special gift for a friend, family member, or loved one, TaylorMade's Marketplace is where you should go first. Visit our website at TaylorMade101.com and click on Marketplace to get the best deals today.
Thank you for your call. Let me read you a couple of my Twitter family, and then I'll have you respond, Dr. Hutchinson. But I want to read the first one from one of my best Twitter family members, Ask Jima. And Ask Jima says, Reverend Al, today is my birthday, and I'm sitting in Barnes & Noble Starbucks watching you online, driving people around me crazy, and I want to wave at her and the folks she's driving crazy and wish her a happy birthday on her 21st birthday. That's my friend, and of course, my East Point.
Need a new website? Haven't figured out your social media strategy? Are you finally ready to tweet, post, or blog? Well, look no further. Go to TaylorMade101.com. That's T-A-I-L-O-R MADE101.com. We are the number one resource for small businesses and nonprofits. We're a full service, interactive consulting firm specializing in social media marketing, web design, technology workshops, as well as leadership and management training. So go to TaylorMade101.com. That's TaylorMade101.com. Google me.
Welcome back to Current Events with Patrick Cook. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. I want to shift now to the Trayvon Martin case. Now, there's an article in CBS.News, CBSNews.com that says the judge in the murder trial of George Zimmerman said Saturday that the prosecution audio experts who point to Trayvon Martin as screaming on the 911 call before he was killed won't be allowed to testify at the trial. That's right. The 911 experts, or the audio experts, won't be allowed at the trial. What do you think about that? Do you think they should be allowed at the trial, or do you think it's going to introduce some kind of bias into the overall investigation of the trial? Now, Judge Deborah Nelson reached her decision after hearing arguments that stretched over several days on whether to allow the testimony from two prosecution experts. One expert ruled out Zimmerman as the screamer, and another said it was Martin. So one says it was, one said it wasn't, but at any rate, one expert, the defense experts argued that there was not enough audio to determine who the screams are coming from. Zimmerman's attorney also argued that the state experts' analyst is flawed. So what does that mean? That means it's going to be a long, drawn-out trial, and the fact that they're not going to be able to admit any evidence with respect to the audio. Now, the audio, in my opinion, was devastating. It was devastating because you can hear a lot of the screaming that was going on, but you can also hear what people would argue that was Zimmerman saying, calling Trayvon Martin several names. He was saying, and then people said he was calling them kind of names, but, you know, this trial is going to be long and drawn out. There's going to be people. It's going to be emotional. And at times, I believe it's going to be surprising. I think we're going to be surprised by a lot of the testimony that comes out of the case. And the fact that Trayvon Martin would not be there to tell his side of the story, I think is going to put the whole case in a difficult situation. So what do you think? To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Now, you know, I've been looking at this trial for, quite some time now. We were some of the first people to really talk about it when it first came out. And we were saying that it's going to be somewhat similar to the O.J. Simpson trial. You know, it's going to be highly publicized. It's going to start off kind of slow, but once they get into all of the really minute details of what happened, you'll begin to see the audience build. You'll see the audience start to build more and more. You'll start to see more people get more engaged. You'll start to see people start discussing the events. Now, granted, Reb Mal Sharpton on his show, Politics Nation, he covers it every day. He doesn't miss it. But I think it's going to become widely covered in the days and weeks to come as we begin to get more details coming out. But I'm kind of torn by this case because, you know, I believe that if he's found innocent, I think it gives the green light. Zimmerman found innocent. I think it gives the green light for people to do exactly what George Zimmerman has done to Trayvon Martin. It gives people the green light, like Paula Deen did, to just say what they want to about African Americans. It gives the green light for people to even want make light of having a wedding with just black people posed as slaves. It gives the green light to people like Rush Limbaugh to make statements about the First Lady because she's an African-American black female. It gives the green light to people like Imus to say certain things. I mean, so it frightens me in the sense that if George Zimmerman gets away with murder, if you will, it poses a larger problem, I think. You know, and if it turns out that he does get away with it, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for most people. And I say that in the context of, you know, just listening to the events as they unfold when he was on, when he was actually the 911 call. Just listening to him following Trayvon Martin after the police told him not to do so. Just listening to him say, call him names under his breath, which was inaudible at best, but still the fact that he pursued the young man, the fact that the young man did not have a weapon, the fact that he pulled the weapon, not only pulled it, but he used it on him, it just doesn't. It's a bittersweet pill for me to swallow, and I'm hopeful that justice prevail. And justice means that if he's innocent, he's proven innocent, you know, that we all will be okay with that, you know. And the fact that if the truth comes out, but his credibility is in question, primarily because he lied during some of the preliminary hearings, especially about the money and how much he had and where the money was and things of that nature. So it's going to be a tough pill to swallow for most cases. To join the conversation, the number to call is 323-580-5712. Once again, the number is 323-580-5712. Now, if you don't know this, opening statements are set for tomorrow in the second-degree murder trial for the former neighborhood watch volunteer, as they called him, who says he fired on the unarmed black teenager in self-defense. Now, Zimmerman is pleading not guilty. He is pleading not guilty. You know, because the judge ultimately eliminated the audio experts, the screams that you heard were a crucial piece of evidence. Crucial. And the problem was that, you know, they couldn't really determine who was screaming. Quite naturally, Martin's family suggested that was their son. And quite naturally, Zimmerman's father said it was his son. So, you know, you got to go back and forth about whose it was, whose it wasn't. And you get these experts on both sides. And one for the prosecution says, no, it's Trayvon. One for the defense says, it's Zimmerman. So, you know, it's probably a good call to not admit them because it's just going to confuse or clutter the testimony. But on the other hand, by them not admitting this, this is a devastating piece of evidence. And if it was proven to be Trayvon Martin, then it could primarily be, the case could be a wrap. Now, audio experts from both sides testified at different times during the hearing, which stretched over a period of 3 weeks, and the voice experts were hired by lawyers and news organizations to analyze the call, which were made during a confrontation between the two. But at the end of the day, the judge did dismiss both of the experts and would not allow them to proceed with that testimony. But what are your thoughts? What do you think the end result will be once it's all said and done with his particular case? I definitely believe that it's going to be must-see TV, if you will, must-see TV. All right, we're wrapping up for the end of the show for today. It was, once again, a great time to be with you. I enjoyed it, and we'll look forward to seeing you next week. You're listening to Current Events with Patrick Cook. Have a good day.